Good morning. It's Ashley with another Hampton Roads Perspective. And this morning, I'm here to talk about the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative. And I'm sitting here with Executive Director Patrick McKenna. How are you today, Patrick?
I'm doing great. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how long Virginia Beach Justice has been in existence.
Okay. Well, my name's Pat McKenna. I was a gut, and I'm an attorney of almost going on 30 years now that became aware of this issue of human trafficking through my daughter, when she was a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. And that led to my wife and I and several others forming the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative in order to be able to raise awareness to human trafficking happening here in our region as opposed to around the world.
So is that your specific mission, to focus on the region of human trafficking?
That's correct. And we work with actually other justice initiatives throughout the state. There's one in Richmond and one in Central Virginia and one out in Shenandoah Valley in order to be able to blanket the state with awareness. And then each of us has a more specific focus depending upon the needs of the region. Mm-hmm. That's why we call ourselves a justice initiative. Mm-hmm. Try to initiate action where there isn't really anything happening.
Now, for our listeners that may just be tuning in, can you tell us what is human trafficking?
That's a great question. Human trafficking is the exploitation of vulnerability for commercial sexual purposes or for labor, and sometimes even for body parts. And exploitation of a vulnerability, some need, something within that particular person that's going to be able to be used against them at some point.
Do you see that a lot in Hampton Roads?
Yeah, unfortunately, Hampton Roads is kind of a perfect storm for human trafficking.
I feel like a lot of people don't hear about it that much. So,
well, that's one of our jobs, is to raise awareness that it is happening here locally. And I'll give you just kind of a quick idea as to why it's happening here. In fact, it'd almost be a miracle if it weren't happening here, or we were so doing our job as to raising awareness that people are afraid to come here for prosecution's sake.
Yeah.
So we have the military here. I love our military, but unfortunately it does tend to be a magnet for this kind of thing. We have the interstates. It tends to be a mobile issue. So we're right along the I-95 corridor. We have the international airports. We have one of the largest ports in the Eastern Seaboard. It's a tourist area. Virginia Beach kind of is a misnomer for us because we actually serve the 757 area code, and we including the Eastern Shore out of Franklin, Essex. Mm-hmm. So frankly, with all these different factors, transients, all the students coming in and out, they have the tourism, J-1 visa students that come
it
here.
Makes sense. So what does human trafficking look like in our region?
Well, it can look like the young person coming to your door to sell magazines as part of a university scholarship program. Now, I want to paint the broad brush of everything. It could be the number two way in which young people are trafficked is through panhandling, traveling sales crews. Mm-hmm. So it can be a child approaching you in the Walmart parking lot with items in a bin that look like they're from leftovers from somebody's yard sale. It could be the woman being advertised on the internet as part of an escort service, or a woman seeking men. That's a huge way in which people are trafficked.
What should someone do if they think they see something or they feel funny? Like maybe their intuition is like, that was a kind of a weird situation.
Mm-hmm. There's a number that they can call. It's the National Anti-Human Trafficking Hotline.
Okay.
7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's 1-888-3737-888. Again, that's 888-1-3737-888. And that number, the operators are trained to be able to ask you the questions that they need to be able to ask you in order to be able to get at whether this situation is one that needs further investigation. And they have immediate ties to law enforcement in the region.
Okay.
So they'll know what office to call. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, if they think there's services that may be needed, they can call our organization. We're one of the organizations listed on their website.
What localities or areas do you serve? Are there any specific ones in Hampton Roads?
Well, we serve basically all the 757 area code.
Okay.
We draw our board members from all over the place, or volunteers from all over the Hampton Roads area. I live in Chesapeake, and we've got people from Yorktown and such. So really, anybody who wanted to get involved would be able to work with us, and anybody in that region that needs help.
Mm-hmm. And who are the people you serve?
Well, it's kind of twofold. One, because we're raising advocacy and awareness to the issue, we're serving the community. So the 757 area code, Southeastern Virginia, say. At the same time, we work directly with survivors of human trafficking.
Okay.
And so those folks who are trying to get out of the life or who are self-identifying for the first place, we're actually in four of the regional jails in the region.
Wow.
And we are been extraordinarily amazed to see how many women are actually in that setting or they're on what I call victim-centered crimes.
So they can specifically, victims of human trafficking can reach out to
That's
you
right.
guys for help, assistance, just somewhere to go.
That's right.
What are some of the programs that you operate to benefit the community?
We regularly operate community action programs. We do speaking on Saturday. I was speaking to some mentors who go into the school system. We do training of what I call first responders. So fire departments, law enforcement, medical personnel, hospitals, and such. Department of Social Workers, mm-hmm. because they're more likely to see it firsthand, educators yeah. and such. And then we do educational programs in the schools, which are critical because that's the target population, like 10 years old up into the second year of college, particularly vulnerable. So we try to make sure that they have the tools they need.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, as I mentioned, we work directly with survivors of trafficking, and their needs are huge. And so, you know, for housing, stable, supportive housing, in fact, one of the things we're getting ready to do is to open up a home.
I was just about to ask you if there was any other programs that you operate. So you're about to open up a home.
Right.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, it'll be a therapeutic home, a safe place where they can begin to heal. They can get the kind of trauma care that they need because they're like domestic violence victims on steroids. All those domestic violence victim issues, but with usually with rape trauma issues. Because most people don't realize the myth is that people are doing this because they want to.
Yeah.
And 9 out of 10 women or men who are being trafficked sexually are not doing it because they want to. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do that. So we do case management, basically effectively helping them with court cases they may have.
Okay.
And just anything that you can think of. Because a lot of times you think of somebody who's 13 years old, 14 years old, who's been brought into this this situation. They don't have any skills, and so they're really in need from A to Z in terms of trying to help them get what they need to be able to be supportive, to be able to function in the community.
How many people do you think you serve annually?
From an awareness perspective and raising and doing educational opportunity, probably in the thousands, literally.
Okay.
Because we get on radio programs, TV interviews like this, and plus the work we do in the community, even without media presentation, probably a good 5,000, 6,000 people a year.
Okay.
And then as far as survivors, right now we're working with close to 90.
Wow. Now, where do you receive your funding to help, these survivors and to raise awareness?
Well, to the very people who are listening to your radio show. We really rely on that. We don't get government funding just because the red tape and all the stuff that goes along with it can really suck the life out of an organization. So we do private grant funding. We work with businesses in the area. We've gotten grants from Town Bank and Wells Fargo. And
so they're big sponsors for you guys, big advocates.
Yeah, big advocates for us. And also, but every individual that gives or volunteers in some way is a huge piece of what we do.
Now, can people volunteer instead of providing cash donations?
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of volunteers do you need or accept?
If you have a skill set, likely we can make use of it. We have people who are have a heart that want to walk alongside the women, who are willing to get the kind of training that is needed and to jump through the hoops. If you want to be a victim advocate, as we call them, there's a huge need to create a new normal as far as family relationships and personal relationships. That's what the advocates help do. And then there's things like we can use IT help, people who love social media and want to get out the word, people who like to do events, and willing to show up for our 5K or our Celebrate Justice event. So there's all kinds of ways. And basically, if you have a skill set, we can pretty much put it to you.
What about people that serve as like you were saying, you assist some of these victims with life lessons, like maybe how to balance a checkbook, maybe how to, make a resume. Do you have people like that to help?
Yeah, we're looking to line up more of those people, especially as we look to open up the home.
Because like life coaches, I guess you could say.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we're looking to try to get grant funding to specifically fund such a position. Yeah.
Now, what can you do with monetary donations?
The list is endless. let's say somebody gives us $45. $45 can actually help us to pay for 1 hour of counseling for a survivor trafficking. $30 can help us pay for basic necessities like food, clothing, can help us pay for ID for people to get their license back,
just an
ID and such. Larger donations, obviously, there are greater needs. We're always looking for people who are willing to fund the prevention project. It's our school curriculum that we use and help in order to help those young people keep from becoming targets and become leaders on the issue, in fact. Oh my goodness. With a home opening, of course, there's the great need for funding, for ongoing sustained funding, to help us keep that. One thing to get the home open, it's another thing to be able to keep it moving.
Keep it operating.
Keep it operating. And I think we've figured out that the daily cost for that is going to be like $70.
Wow. So $70 donation would be great.
Yeah, right.
So the economy is really good right now. Why is there a need for your services, would you say?
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, you think of the women, they come out really with no employment. And I say women, it can be men, too. Right now we're working with all women, but we know the men are out there. It's just, it's harder sometimes for men to come forward, just because we're not supposed to be able to be victimized in this way. But in any event, the economy doesn't really affect. What it may do is give us more opportunities for them to get employment as they get training, as they get stable in their personal lives and such. But there's still a great need. In fact, we do have need of employers who are willing to be kind of get some training in order to be able to work with this population, because what we need to have them be able to get is a livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a tendency to go back into that. Though the women don't get to keep the money that comes through their hands, it goes to somebody else, a pimp or organized crime or a gang.
Mm-hmm.
It's still money that was made off their bodies.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you've made thousands of dollars coming through your hands to work it for minimum wage at McDonald's can be kind of a sharp adjustment. Even though, again, they don't get to keep any of the money, it's all taken from them, it's still like something their effort. So they're really amazing women or men who survive this in this crime. I mean, are amazing people. It takes just resilience. It takes more than just being a survivor, just creativity. They're often great entrepreneurs. They just have to have that, their thinking reframed, reframed in order to be able to understand that.
Now, are you guys rated by Charity Navigator? Our listeners might not know, but they rate charities as far as, their trustworthiness and their ability to stretch their dollar. So are you guys rated by them?
No, we're actually not rated by them because we don't meet the criteria.
Okay.
Our organization is relatively small in terms of dollar amount. So you have to be over $1 million to do that.
Okay.
So if the listeners would like to help us to get to that level, we'd love to.
Help them get there.
Right. But we are, we have received the gold seal of transparency from GuideStar.
Okay,
which is
perfect.
Kind of like a, kind of a system. Not, they're not related, I don't think, but... for transparency of how we deal. It's not an endorsement, they say, but it does talk about basically how transparent we are and how willing we are to basically open the books up and people look.
Now, you mentioned that you did not receive funding from the government, correct?
That's correct.
So do you have any fundraisers ever to raise, donations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Two times a year, we do a 5K, one coming up actually in the spring, April 13th, Mariners Museum in Newport News. So we actually hold up fundraisers on each side of the water. So it really eliminates people's excuse.
That's near my house, actually.
Right?
So, yeah.
So we do one there, April 13th. That's a 5K. It'll be our fourth annual coming up. That's a huge way we raise funds and awareness. And then we just finished our Celebrate Justice, and we'll be doing that again. It's a gala event where we raise funds. Last year was for the home. Usually for survivor needs, the fundraisers. And
do survivors go to these events?
Sometimes, but we don't know. We may have a survivor come actually at our dinner. We just had a survivor come. They have to be healthy enough.
Yeah, mentally, I would imagine.
Because we want to make sure that they're in a space that they can actually share their story.
Yeah, you don't want to just throw them out there in front of everybody.
Right,
yeah.
And they feel a tremendous obligation to us a lot of times because of the help we give them. So we don't want to put them in a position where they feel like they have to do it.
Understandable, yeah.
We don't really want to be put in the position of being their pimp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the number of criteria, but sometimes we do have survivors comments.
Now, how can people receive assistance from your organization? I guess I'm looking for, the process of that.
It's a really easy process, actually. We do everything online.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to volunteer or wants to donate, they can do both of those things online. The volunteer process, all the forms are there. We do require a background check.
Okay.
Because of the nature of the work we do. If people want to walk directly with survivors and kind of work in that advocate role, they have to go through a more elaborate background check. So if they go to the website, there's actually two levels. They'd have to choose the higher one.
Okay.
But for most people, the normal background check, they want to help be a speaker, they want to man informational tables, they want to volunteer one of the events we talked about, the lower background check is.
Okay. Fine. And what is your website address?
It's www.vbji, our initials, the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative, so vbji.org. And we also have a toll-free number, too, they can call. That's 877-227-2321.
Now, is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners?
Well, two things I'd like to be all right.
Of course.
Is we always stress that it's one thing. Everybody, you can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And we challenge them to do one thing. whatever that may be, however that plays out. It may be just to go and do more research after they hear this interview, and maybe invite somebody to one of our community action meetings. Or maybe they want to get involved, actually volunteer. But mm-hmm. whatever that is for them, we ask them to do it, because I'm here on this radio program because my daughter wrote a paper about human trafficking and opened my eyes that it was happening.
Yeah.
So we're working with 90 survivors because we've talked to thousands of people, all because my daughter did her one thing.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing. And then the other thing is we have a fashion show coming up pretty quickly here.
Okay, let's talk about that.
It's called The New Beginning, and it's put on by Aloysius Productions. They're very, very internationally known. In fact, this is a huge deal, really. This fashion show is being done in London, in Paris, in New York City, in Los Angeles, and we happen to have some connections, and so we were able to have it brought here.
That's great.
So really, it's a huge deal, and all the proceeds from the event will be going toward two human trafficking organizations that are working to open up homes. One is our own, Virginia Beach Justice Initiative, and the other is the Butterfly House, which is also a local nonprofit that is hoping to open a home for minor victims of trafficking. We're focusing more on adults.
Okay. And now if people wanted information about the fashion show, where could they go to get that?
Well, they can go to our website. They can also go to our Facebook page. And I think that this will even be posted on the radio stations.
Yes, actually, if you're listening right now and you would like some more information about the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative or the fashion show or ways you could help, basically anything, you can text the word traffic to 757-104. A link gets sent straight to your phone with all of the information on how you in Hampton Roads can help or help the organization, help the survivors, help everyone in general. Now, is there anything else that you'd like to leave with Hampton Roads today?
Well, I appreciate their listening, and I don't think I gave the name of the fashion show on the date, but it's a new beginning, January 18th, 2019.
So about a week away from now. Thank you, Patrick, so much for coming in today to talk about the Virginia Beach Justice Initiative. Again, you can find all this information on our Facebook page, our website. Text the word traffic to 757-104. We'll send a link straight to your phone. Thank you again, Patrick.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Ashley.
Of course.